SOS Radio Podcast.
Life issues, artist interviews, and faith.
Downloading now.
We're talking about second chances with Winona Judd on SOS Radio. How are you today?
I don't even know what to start with. I'll just start with how a child feels so overwhelmed, excited, and like I'm getting ready to go on the roller coaster, like that crazy, do I run? Do I, you know, get on? Do I scream? It's everything too much at once. It's like trying to take a drink from a fire hose right now in my life. I cannot tell you how interesting, timing-wise, this interview is because it's the first one I've given in probably 6 months, actually. I've been walking a very wilderness-type sabbatical, if you will. I've been in the music business 38 years, and interestingly enough, Scott, you may not know this, but my career began in Vegas, and Mom and I opened for Merle Haggard at the Caesar's Palace. I began in the desert, and I find that very metaphorical. And here I am 38 years later, coming back to the desert. I've met a character named John Ponder. I met him through Tony Brinker. I sang for Congress not too long ago, and I thought, here I am on stage singing Love Can Build a Bridge with both sides of the aisle, standing arm to arm, singing along. And I thought, you know, look what music can do. So I'm coming back to the desert. Tony Brinker, it's called Operation Blue Shield. And I'll start by saying, as a parent, I'm involved with this, not as an artist or a would-be spokesperson. I got involved with this, Scott, because my son is a canine officer, and he spends his life in Kevlar and driving through the night trying to, obviously, bring justice. And it's a really tough job being the parent of an officer. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I have been walking a very lonely path, trying to figure out my next 10 years. Are you married?
I am, and two kids.
You come to a place at times in your life when you're at a crossroads, and you have to decide whether you're going to stay in this lane or you're going to shift over into this lane. And I'm at a crossroads in my life, Scott, and I think this interview is better than therapy. Just sharing my story with anyone out there who's maybe struggling with a decision or a choice in their life where they feel like, gosh, which way do I go? I'm at that place right now in my life, and it's both exciting and terrifying. I live on a farm. We have 1,000 acres. Mom lives over the hill. And I walk in the wilderness and I talk to God. I'm either crying, praying, screaming, or singing. You know, it's really one of the four. In the meantime, I take care of about 30 animals, and I'm a homesteader. People don't know that about me. I don't always just wear sparkles. I definitely walk on the earth. I sort of feel like Miss America sometimes. I've got to get out there and, you know, be in the parade and wave, and it's my hope seller spirit. You know what I mean? When you're an artist, you want to give hope. You want to give your message to people and encourage them. So this interview brings me to a real focus of why it is that I'm doing what I'm doing. And I asked God recently, and be careful what you ask for, I always tell people, because if you don't mean it, don't say it.
Yeah.
I'm very serious. This is not about me just going, oh, I think I want to ... No. I want to state for the record, I am a believer in the Trinity. I'm in no way religious or trying to tell anyone what to do. I'm just sharing my story. So I'm not a preacher. I'm a teacher through music. And I think it's interesting that God has positioned me to meet John Ponder there in Vegas. He asked me to come out to be a part of his Hope for Prisoners. And I said, okay. And I thought, what the heck am I doing? It's my only days off for the month. I'm flying to Vegas. And I'm staying at a motel, which is interesting because it's kind of where I started, Scott. I started out with Mom on the road, you know, pretty simple, actually. You know, we used to play the MGM Grand. We used to play all those places. But now I'm back off the strip in a motel. You can walk outside. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm right back where I started. And I'm going to go to the Hope for Prisoners. They've asked me to hand out the graduation certificates of the program. And I'm going to visit a women's prison, and I'm overwhelmed by that because I have such a heart for the lonely, the lost, for the unloved, just because I've spent my life on the road 38 years on a bus. Think about it. isolated from the world in a bubble. People don't understand that living the life of a gypsy can often be extremely lonely. And then I'm spiritual, so I take the word alone, and I learned that the word, if you take A-L and separate it from the O-N-E, it's all one with God. And so I've turned it around. I've spent my life turning things around. Well, your flight got canceled. Well, I have a choice. I can either be really bitter or I can be better. So I get up and I go around and I talk to people and I take selfies. And next thing I know, I'm talking to a teenager that has no idea who I am. And we're connecting because they play an instrument. You know what I mean, Scott? You never know what God has in store for you wherever you are. And you have a choice to make in any given circumstance. So when I chose to come to Vegas and he asked me, all of a sudden all these opportunities start flying. He calls me yesterday and says, will you do this interview? And I thought, heck no, I don't want to talk about this. I'm going to cry. I'm going to be vulnerable. And I think it's time. I think it's time for me to get real and get out of my comfort zone. I've been doing what I've been doing for a long time. You know, my life, basically my life, here it is in, you know, 30, 40 minute increments. I think it's really cool to come out there and to get involved in something different and unusual for some people to think that I would do this. For me, it feels very natural because I'm drawn to the fan that comes up to me and says, I'm really having a hard time, and one of your songs has helped me through this darkness. Oh my gosh, this is a moment. This isn't just, you know, me being an artist and being famous or being successful. This is about communication and connection. Back to my original thought, I've asked God, I don't want you to just bless what I'm doing, God. I want to do what you're blessing. Well, next thing I know, I'm going to Vegas. I'll be honest, I wouldn't pick that for my vacation. I'd probably do a staycation here at the farm. I'm coming to Vegas, and I'm going to walk through a really interesting, different... You know, I walk into a place, Scott, and I know everywhere I'm going. I know who I'm talking to. I know what time I go on stage. I know my set list. I know, you know what I'm saying? I have it all in front of me like a manual almost of what my day looks like. I'm coming out there and I'm throwing caution to the wind. I'm going to show up and just be. And that's really hard for us, right? Because we usually like to have things figured out. So I'm going to come out there for 4 days and walk with John through his program of Hope for Prisoners and just learn and grow from that experience and hopefully continue to sing for the people who feel whatever they're feeling.
We're talking to Winona Judd on SOS Radio. What have you learned about second chances through your journey, Winona?
I wrote a book called Coming Home to Myself, and after 18 times on Oprah back when she had her show, I told my story because I think people have a lot of assumptions going on through what they see on social media, or obviously they think what they think about success. And look, I was 18 years old when I made it in the world of show business, music. I had no clue. It took me 10 years to catch up. It was almost like I won the lottery, and then I had to figure out, oh my gosh, I need to hire, you know, an accountant. I need to figure out, you just have to play catch up to what just happened to you. It took me 10 years, and about the time that Mom left the road due to Hep C, she had to quit the road. I went out on my own, and it was quite a historical period. I've had a lot of second chances, probably more than I'd care to really talk about, but here's what I've learned is just when you think that you've got it all figured out and you're thinking, oh, well, maybe I can, you know, push the cruise control button, not so fast, because I have had so many second chances. I should actually call my next tour, you know, like 32 chances, because honestly, Scott, I've had 3 careers in the span of 38 years, 6 presidents, you know, the list goes on. All I can tell you is that every single day I think about things that I've learned from Maya Angelou, women who have said, you know, they'll forget what you did, they'll forget what you said, they'll never forget what you made them feel. And I think about that a lot, and I go, you know what, God, you have given me so many chances. I struggle with the whole thing about deserving, and I thought I had to earn God's love or God's favor or God's grace. We feel like we have to earn it, and I'm learning every single day, more so now than ever at my age, that God gives them because he loves us like we give to our children because we just love them. And so my second chances come in so many different forms, whether it's music, putting out a new record, awards, whatever it is. I get second chances so often that I stop and look around and really savor. Fans will come up to me third and fourth generations later from when I first started and say to me, it happened the other night on stage, I looked at a fan who seemed very young, and she said, I was listening to you in my mother's womb. And I went, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have our first in vitro fan. You know, and I laugh a lot. I make a lot of jokes because if you shared a bus with your mother for 10 years, you would too. And I think Second Chances is exactly why I'm part of this program. Look, I'm not interested in the photo op. I could care less. I've done a lot of things and said no cameras just because I want to have the experience like anyone else. I want to meet someone who says to me something that I haven't heard or give me a new perspective. I think that's what I'm asking God right now for, is perspective, because I think we really forget sometimes. I know I do, until I turn off my apps on my phone. And I think Second Chances is an opportunity for me to just show up and wait for God to walk through the room. That's pretty interesting to me right now for some reason. I think because I've been doing what I'm doing for so long now, I feel like, what would it be like just to show up and stand there and be an observer, you know? What would that be like to just walk into the women's prison and see what happens without there being any agenda? I don't have a prepared speech. I don't have to be on, you know what I mean? I don't have to take photos with a meet and greet group. I can actually walk into that prison with a heart of compassion and say, hey, I see you.
Now we're talking to Winona on SWIS Radio, and you're coming through Las Vegas on Friday. You're going to be speaking at the Hope for Prisoners graduation for a lot of people that have been fighting for a second chance. They want to get acclimated back into society. They've paid their debt to society. They've gone through this program with hopeforprisoners.org. It's going to be on Friday at the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Headquarters. Interesting venue to hold this. It's amazing how so many of our police officers have become mentors, and many of the judges and the detectives and a lot of the pastors in town have been mentoring these men and women who are fighting for those second chances. But Winona, God's really given you a heart for families who have been dealing with incarceration.
I will tell you this, and I've said it, and it's so corny, but sometimes when you're an artist and you're doing an interview or something's being written about you, there's obviously a headline. And my headline lately has been, I'm a Judd, not a judge. I can tell you, I've been in jail, and it wasn't for a long time, but I tell you what, you never forget it. And I tell you what, if I have anything to say about this whole thing, it's not about me giving to charity or writing a check and sending it off. This is about me showing up and saying, hey, I know what it feels like to feel shame. I know what it's like to feel judged. And I know what it feels like, and it sucks. And we are all guilty of something. So be very careful. And I've had to catch myself a few times lately about some things that I've seen and heard about commenting and thinking, you know what? You have nothing to say in this, because little Missy, you've done well to keep yourself as much on the straight and narrow as possible, which is constantly a challenge. You're right. I do have a heart for family. Being successful at an early age, I was taken away from my family in terms of traveling and becoming a gypsy and waking up in a different state every day, and I was very disconnected from my family. Now I have a family of choice, and those are my fans, my guardian angels, I call them. For me now to walk into prisons, which I'm doing more and more, I'm finding that there's so much Jesus, because the brokenness is so palpable. It's so unbelievably intoxicating when you walk in and you feel the loneliness and the despair and the sense of lowly. I have a friend, C.C. Winan, who sings a song about the lowly, you know, the ones of us who walk around with our head down and we feel so lost and alone and fearful and worried about whatever. If I can be a bright spot in someone's day, I'm like, oh my, this has nothing to do with celebrity, which I hate that word. I'm sorry, I just do. It's about a cause. I want to stand behind the cross, because that's where I'm protected, and that's the only thing I know. And when I walk in there, I ask for protection, and I ask God to give me words of wisdom, because I can go in and be chatty and say cute things that I've been taught to say on award show night. You know what I want to do? I want to roll up my sleeves and get down in the real life of others. I love what I do. I love being on stage. It's all about me. Love the spotlight because it gives me light, not just because of the fame thing. That'll get you a good seat in the restaurant. But what's it going to be like for me to get there? You know, I'm not carrying a weapon, and that's my guitar. I'm not there to sing or be, you know, the artist formerly known as the Judd. I'm there just as a mom, as a believer, as someone who says, hey, if I can get through my darkness, because I write in my book about attempting suicide at 18 and feeling hopeless. And in the song Love Can Build a Bridge, which John loves, it says, you know, in your sea of broken dreams, you know, I will swim out to save you. Let me show you what love means. And then I talk about the greatest of these, and that is love. What's going to happen when I show up there, Scott, and I walk in there, and I'm just me, and I look at a woman who's just maybe thinking of ending her life or thinking she'll never make it out? Look, I just watched a video of John Ponder, a man who's been incarcerated, standing next to the president and the FBI friend of his that took him into custody. Now, you tell me about possibilities and second chances and the Operation Blue Shield that Tony Brinker is head of, bringing the police into the neighborhoods where the kids are scared of police, but they do all these things together to bring the community with Operation Shield, which means we're all in this together. Ooh, what a concept, right? So you told me a story earlier about how we are giving that love to people who we think they don't deserve it. Okay, well, I have a problem with that kind of thinking, by the way. I have seen rehabilitation and reform myself personally. Now, we can't get into all of that because that's not my job. My job is to follow what I believe, and that is to love people wherever they are. And I'm going to tell you what, I can't think of anything worse in my lifetime of visiting the hospital or the prison. I mean, I've visited a lot of places, and I've been in a lot of situations where I go, this is devastating. And I walk out thinking, how in the world am I going to not die of a broken heart? I'm serious. I've been in some things during Christmas where I go back into where I was raised, and that's Appalachia, where it's like a third world country, and you see a woman with four kids who has no health care and no plan of getting out of her county. You know what I mean? So I see a lot of hopelessness in this world. And yet I know, and I'll say this, the only time I ever get political at all, and I say to people, and John and I talked about it yesterday, we were talking about Democratic, Republican. I said, well, let's just be American. And he said, well, he had a story better than mine even. He said, the elephant and the donkey. He said, I'm the lamb follower. Like, whoa, John, yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that was like, that should be a bumper sticker, man. That's like, wow, that rocked my world. Look, John and I are talking as if we've known each other for 10 years. You know when you meet someone and your spirits just crash into each other and you just feel like you've known them forever? That's happening. I mean, John and I have known each other just weeks. We met on the phone, and here we are talking to each other like family, and it's crazy good. And I'm so grateful, and I thank him every day because he's walking with me through some tough stuff. And I'm inspiring him by showing up and looking at all these men and women who give their lives every day and saying thank you. If that's what I can do, that's good enough.
Winona, I attended the Hope for Prisoners graduation last year. It was so emotional. It was like 34 men and women that have been fighting for a second chance, and they hold this at the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police headquarters. And so every time the team would say something about one of the police officers or the Metro officers, all the Hope for Prisoners graduates would say in unison, our friends. And after
serving time,
learn to see these police officers as mentors and as friends. But Winona, what do most Americans misunderstand about police families?
Well, being the mother of a young man, I call him my man child. Because if I say son or my baby, he looks at me like, Mom, I've got a gun. No, he's 24 years old. He's about to be married. He's growing up and leaving the nest. And I'm looking at him going, dude, I think the thing that we forget is that we dehumanize. I don't care if it's an officer or an actress or a politician, we tend to see them in the robe, you know, the judge in the robe. Look, they take the robe off, and who are they after that? And I'm around the military a lot, first responders. I just think it's important to take off the title, the mantle, and just say, I say it all the time in my world, I'm not just a chick singer, I'm a child of God. And I think we forget. And I carry around a picture of my mom and me. I'm maybe 6 months old. I look at that photo and I think, that's my mom. And she looks like she was 18 years old. And I'm looking at this little face of mine and I'm thinking, you know what I mean? That helps me put it in perspective because she's this prissy butt, you know, with perfect hair and her perfectly lined lips. And I think, you know what? That's who she is. So I think what we fail to do sometimes, and I know I do, is judge a book by its cover. And we tend to think of someone because of what they did, not who they are. I have people in my life who are addicts. I have people who have been to prison. I have people in my life who have failed marriages. And I just look at them as wounded warriors, really. Because look, the same heat can harden the steel or melt the butter. And so I look at it from a perspective of, who is John Ponder when he's not in the suit with the bow tie standing next to the president? Who is John Ponder? I'll tell you who John Ponder is. He's a man, I can visualize him on his knees because he tells me he prays a lot. You know why? Because he's been in that cell. We are not what we have done. And I think about that almost every minute of every day, Scott, because I myself have been judged, criticized, put into category. I win or lose. You know, it's all or nothing a lot of times, right? So I've had to find a place to live between all of that. And what I've decided is I am not my circumstance. And that's probably the greatest lesson I have learned is I don't care if you have $1 million in your savings account and you're living off the interest. I don't care if you're the president or you're in prison. I don't know if you've seen this recently where it was a mansion and then a small house, one bedroom, and then below it were two graves dug, and they were talking about still the same size grave. Now that's heavy, and when I saw it, I went, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, perspective again, perspective, perspective, perspective. So who are we at the end of the day when we're laying in bed looking up, which is where God wants us, and you know, 10 hours ago, I was on stage in front of thousands of people, stomping around on stage like the warrior that I've been trained to be. And yet I'm laying here in the quiet darkness. Who am I right now? After it's all said and done, I am a child of God. And that's who these prisoners are. They're someone's child. Even a stripper, I think of it. That's someone's daughter. So I'm a mom, and I think that gave me a great heart for the truth behind the mask, the veil, whatever, you know? I don't say, what is wrong with you? I say, what happened to you? They've got a story, Scott. They all have a story. John Ponder, having been incarcerated, is now in charge of a lot of people. His program, only 6% go back to prison. Here in Tennessee, where I live, it's like 60%. We have work to do, my friend, and this is just the beginning.
Yeah, so if you're listening right now and you'd like to know more, you'd like to experience this firsthand, I would challenge you to put this on your calendar for Friday, right at the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Headquarters, 4:30. We're going to be graduating a whole bunch of people.
Pray for these people and just do it because it works. I've watched it happen. And Operation Blue Shield, they're working in tandem. It's like the left hand, you know, knows not what the right hand is doing. In this case, both are working in tandem. I'm in between Tony Brinker with Operation Blue Shield and John with Hope for Prisoners. And it's an interesting dynamic because I'm sitting between two major warriors for God. They are so determined. And I'm looking at them like I thought I had a lot of energy. These two are rocking my world.
Well, it was a joy to talk to you today, Winona. We'll see you on Friday. I'm excited about it.
Well, if you're there, will you come up and say something to me so I see how cute you are?
All right, absolutely.
I look forward to it. I'm planning my life around it, and I cannot believe I'm doing it, and I'm probably going to come home like I've just been to Disney World and rode every ride.
It is an emotional experience.
Oh, it's
I don't know how you
can
walk
coaster.
In and not walk away marked for life.
It'll make me a better person, and my plan is to be better, not bitter, in this crazy world that tries to steal your joy. I will not let it happen.
Thanks for downloading our SOS Radio podcast. You're always free to support the podcast. It helps us to experiment a little more, take a lot of these discussions that we have on SOS Radio and repurpose these and go even deeper, uncut, in the podcast right here. Would you leave a review if you enjoy this? And share this with a friend. It's always fun when we get some feedback. Hi.
Hi, Scott. My name is Shannon Harris. I had some family here at Winona Judd's podcast, and I actually was an inmate at FMWCC for 4 years. You know, SOS Radio was one of the only radio stations I could get in the hole because I was locked down in solitary confinement. It was kind of funny to hear her words about second chances and, you know, the thought process that goes into going into a place like that, because it's not exactly something fun that anybody would want to go to.
Yeah.
But I went down, I got convicted in 2013 for DUI. And I was raised Mormon, so I had never been in a place like that or around people that have done things like that. So it was severe culture shock. But I did get to see some good things in there. I got to see how Central Church came in twice a month and brought us God behind bars. And they brought us bags with, you know, candy and notebooks and lotion. And there's women in there that never get anything. And for 4 years, continually, SOS Radio was there. Well, I was running probably about 3,000 miles in my 4 years.
Wow.
But I listened to you guys, and I had Central Church. I never found God inside. But when I got out, I heard SOS Radio, and I was right there at the brink. I was ready to go back to drinking because I couldn't live my life without God. And I didn't know how to find him because, you know, the way I was raised, it just didn't support it. But the seed was planted inside that prison. Whether or not I got it there or got it out here, I got it now, and I have my Lord and my Savior. And I just want to thank people that give the least of these a little bit of their time, because you don't know how much it changes lives. It might not do it right away, but it does it. And I plan on going back into that prison one day with God behind bars and telling those girls it's okay to not be okay. Because I've been where you are, and I know how hard it is to stand in a place where nothing makes sense. So I just wanted to thank you guys, and, you know, thank Winona Judd for, you know, just having the heart to listen to her Savior, you know?
I love it. Well, thanks for calling in and sharing, Shannon, and thanks for downloading our SOS Radio podcast. Feel free to leave a review or share this with a friend.